to the official podcast for St. Philip's Episcopal Church in Rochester, Michigan. You can learn more about our church at our website, stpfeeds.org. Our Sunday services are at 8 and 10 a.m., and all are welcome. This podcast is the sermon for Sunday, December 2nd, 2018, the first Sunday of Advent.
I don't know if you've ever had the experience where you were going to dive into a wonderful heated pool and you dove in and the heater was not working. In fact, there might have been a layer of ice on the top of that thing. That's what the first Sunday of Advent often feels like to me. We're just getting ready to celebrate Christmas, the warm, tender feelings of the birth of the baby Jesus. We're decorating our homes, all those great family and societal traditions. And then you come to church ready for all those warm feelings, and bam, you've got the second coming with wars and rumors of wars and catastrophes, and the seas are in uproar, and there's fear and foreboding. Not what you were expecting this morning, was it? Shock to the system. I look at these passages, and, you know, we are always tempted to think of these as happening right now. I mean, there's a lot of churches that really focus on this, you know, the real end of the world type stuff. I was remembering a Korean pastor some years ago who had calculated by his reading of the Bible the exact date of the second coming of Christ. And it was going to be, I can't remember if it was like 2002 or something like that. But he had worked it out from the biblical prophecies. He'd done a lot of work on this. He got his whole congregation of like 10,000 people, many of them to sell their homes and all their worldly possessions, and he had them gather on top of a mountain in Seoul, waiting for this event to happen. How sad. How sad that they were so misinformed. We know from the scriptures themselves, Jesus himself said, we know neither the day nor the hour. Anyone who tells you that they know exactly when the coming of the Son of Man will be is not reading their Bible very carefully. Because the Bible itself warns us not to get so focused on that. But at the same time, it's a little confusing. Because Jesus says, you know, you'll know when you see these signs taking place, you'll know what's about to happen. So we get kind of focused on this. Is this happening? We look at the world today, we see wildfires and floods, we see all kinds of cataclysms, and we think maybe it's now. Maybe this is happening. Maybe these biblical words and prophecies are happening right now. Maybe we should get ready. Well, we should get ready, but not because this is necessarily the end of the world. Not because the Son of Man is coming tomorrow. We don't know. It could be in a year, 10 years, 100 years, 1,000 years. We have no concept of when that date will be. But I will tell you, we know something. We know that the end of our personal world will come. We know that we have a relatively short time on earth. Our lives are cut short, right? By illness, by old age, by whatever. And so we are also going to go through our own sort of personal cataclysms and trials and tribulations. So I believe in these passages that can induce fear, we need to look more deeply and to find the good news in them, that message of hope and strength that is buried in these passages. And there's a lot of good news in these passages, if you look carefully. Jesus talks in the gospel about how we are to prepare and how we are to live. And the advice that he gives is equally good whether the world ends tomorrow or in another 2,000 years. The advice is this. The advice is to look at our own lives and to say, you know, whatever's going on in the world, there are only some things that we can control, only some things that we can do, and we should do those things. We should live every day as fully and faithfully as we can. The word that stuck out for me in today's gospel is a word I don't use very often. It's called dissipation. Did you catch that? What exactly is dissipation? I get drunkenness, right? Don't be drunk because you're numbing your senses. It prevents you from kind of being alert and awake to God's presence in the world. But dissipation? So I did a little word study on dissipation. Dissipation means squandering the resources that we have. It is the exact opposite of being a good steward. We spend our fall really meditating on what good stewardship looks like. This is bad stewardship. This is taking the resources that you have, your time and your talents, your treasure, your energy, your life, and just squandering it and wasting it. Don't be dissipated, Jesus says, but use what God has given you fully and wisely. Live as much as you are able and do the things that are in your control to be faithful to God. There's lots of ways that we do that. We do that by our faithfulness in worship, by our faithfulness in study, by our faithfulness in caring for our neighbors, in serving the needs of the world, of God's beloved children across the globe. There are many ways for us to do that, and it's in our control. We don't have to wait for some great cataclysm. We can do it right now. I was thinking, this is going to seem like a total tangent, but I was thinking about Social Security. I read all the time that Social Security is doomed, right? A lot of young people believe that there will be no more Social Security when they retire. Raise your hand if you've ever worried about that, that Social Security would disappear. So I was doing, what's that? You're concerned. So I was doing a lot of study about this. The Social Security Trust Fund is the amount of money that's built up from one generation so that it can be spent for the next. That is going to run out in about 12 years. And Social Security, if nothing is done, will not disappear, but it will be cut back by about 22 or 23% for all those who retire after that date or for those who are in retirement. That's a problem. But you know what? We could actually do something about that. It's not an insurmountable problem. It just takes our action to do it. So this is, for me, a parable. There are a lot of things that are in our control. When we look at how disastrous the world is and we feel overwhelmed and depressed, we can focus on our lives and the things that we can do. We can live faithfully. We can live generously. We can live frugally. We can live lovingly. All of those things are in our control. And then Jesus goes on to say that the most important thing when we look at the catastrophes in our own lives or in the world is to remember that we are not in this alone. We are not just going through this by ourselves. We are the beloved children of the God who made us and who loves us and who is redeeming us. In our first lesson today, we are supposed to stand up. When these things are happening and the cataclysms of the world are wiping us out, are we supposed to cower in fear? No, we're supposed to stand up and raise our heads because we have faith and confidence in the God who created the universe and has a plan for the whole universe in the kingdom of God and its completion. We're part of a story that began in the beginning of Genesis with the creation of the heavens and the earth, and which will end one day with the coming of the Son of Man and the transformation of this whole world into the kingdom of God. We're part of that story that begins with God and ends with God. And all the earthly cataclysms in the world, all the problems that we face, our own illness, the death of loved ones, the issues, the loss of, you know, it's only been 10 years since the economic meltdown when so many people in this region were so deeply affected, lost jobs, their lives were thrown into chaos. Only been 10 years. We're going to face more of those kind of things in the future, but we do it as people of God, with faith in the God who made us and has a destiny for us, which is greater than we can imagine. We, as Christians, cannot cower in fear because we know who wrote the book. We know who designed this story. We know how it turns out. We've looked ahead to the end of the book, and we know that it is a happy ending because God will be all in all. If we can have the perspective of eternity, we can handle the problems of the moment. That is not easy. That takes preparation and training. It takes the kind of habits of faithfulness that train us to live in the kingdom of God and not just the crisis of our human lives. We get so distracted by the stories in the newspaper, by what's on television. You know, the old newspaper line, if it bleeds, it leads. I worried about my dad. You know, a lot of people who are at home more and more as they get older, they watch these cable news channels and they repeat the same story like 100 times during the day, right? So you're watching this terrible story, whatever it is, and you're just watching it over and over. And you know, our brains are not really designed to sift through that. Our brains can't really say that only happened once, because in our mind and our heart, it's happening over and over. My dad got deeply afraid towards the end of his life, and I had to work with him about turning off the television and listening to music instead, about finding the things that built strength and resilience and hope in him instead of just reinforcing this terrible message of fear and dread. We are to strengthen ourselves, right? St. Paul in his epistle today talks about his hope that his people, the people that he has evangelized, will be strengthened in their hearts to have hope and faith. What is it this Advent season, as you prepare not only for the coming of the baby Jesus, but for the Son of Man in all his glory, what is going to help you to be strengthened in your heart and in your faith, deepened in your relationship with God, able to withstand whatever comes in your personal life or in the world? What's going to help you to see the grander vision that God has in store, a message of hope, a story of salvation, a story with God at the center, with Jesus walking alongside us, with the Holy Spirit working within us to strengthen our hearts and to equip us for whatever challenges come? Rely on those practices, spiritual practices. For me, it's often singing. That's how I get in touch with God within me. What is it for you? Is it being out in nature? Is it reading your Bible? Is it inspirational? I mean, maybe it's the Hallmark Channel. I don't know. They have so many great holiday stories. Something that gets you in touch with something richer and deeper and more valuable. Turn off the news that is always the unending cycle of disaster, catastrophe, fear, and dread. Turn that off for a while. Don't ignore the needs of the world, but don't let it infect you with the virus of fear and defeat. Instead, equip yourselves with what will nourish you to withstand the catastrophes of the world, strong in your faith, enable you to stand deeply rooted in the gospel of hope and peace and love and victory, and to raise your heads and to see that when the Son of Man comes, it is for your liberation, for your salvation, and for the ultimate victory of God's vision of peace and justice and hope and love.